I'm certainly afraid to say this because it's a Friday. It's the summer, man. We're all trying to feel good after we all got depressed last night watching our future. Two fossils debate each other on TV. But I do have to say something to one Tiki Barber that's going to annoy him.
No, I apologize.
Okay. I apologize to you.
Maybe I won't be annoyed because I've been forewarned.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes that helps. Like, if you tell your wife, I've tried this, hey, honey, you're going to be really pissed off. And then I tell her something.
Yeah, because they expect the worst.
They expect something worse.
Right. And then it's benign, and they're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Right. Like, if you would have told us the president can barely talk, and then we watched it last night, maybe we would have been like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all about expectations, right? I did ask Met fans on social media, what is sparking the Mets more?
Oh, I'm going to be annoyed.
Is it Grimace or is it OMG, Jose Iglesias song?
I already know the answer. So
and I got to tell you, it's not very close. 59% to 41% say Grimace.
I think that will evolve and change in time. Because now they know the meaning of, they've heard the song.
Yes.
They know the meaning of the song. They know the import of this song to this Mets team. And eventually they're going to get tired of looking at a purple blob. And they're going to say, oh, my God, let's go Mets.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I wasn't that familiar with the OMG thing. And it really started a few days ago. Steve Gelbs did a report, interviewed him on SNY. And then I realized, oh, after every home run, they play the song.
Right.
And since the Mets were hitting tons of home runs against the Yankees, not to be a jerk, but that's the reality, I heard the song 7 times in two days.
Not only that, Evan, when we're sitting in the Cadillac Club, which is basically the bullpen for the Mets, you see all the relievers in OMG shirts.
All of them in OMG shirts. That's true.
All of them. Yeah. Like, they come out in their uniform. They're like, yeah, I don't want to wear this. They go and they put the T-shirt on.
That's
right.
They're
all, like, schmedium, so they're all jagged looking, looking like, swole. Like, it's real.
So your estimation is give it a few more weeks. Yes. Let it marinate some more.
Yes.
OMG will overtake Grimace as the rally cry of the 2024
New York
Mets.
People start having so many, you know, milkshakes that their stomachs hurt. They're going to say, no more Grimace. Definitely don't want a purple Grimace. Give me OMG.
Yeah, I think here's the key. They're doing it for home runs, which is great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've changed this yet because I'm not paying attention. After every win, they got to pump the song on the big screen as we're leaving Citi Field. Oh, my God. Like, that's got to be the song that plays when we're leaving the building.
They do the Giants touchdown song. They steal from the Giants.
The Giants touchdown song?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They did Back in the New York Groove after the wins, which is lame.
The Mets have been doing that for a long time, Back in the New York Groove.
I mean, Giants have been doing it for 40 years.
Wait, where have they been playing OMG? Because Mindy told us. Is that in the clubhouse?
It's in the locker room.
Oh.
It's a locker room thing, which is your point. It's a player thing. To make it a fan thing, they got to play the song a little bit more at Citi Field. And what I'm curious about, Louie asked me this off air before, the Mets are playing the Astros tonight at Citi Field. It's fireworks night. My son is here. We're actually going to the game right after. He doesn't want to be on TV, SNY, so don't put him on. But he's sitting next to me reading a book, which I'm so proud of.
Right.
Like, reading a book.
And you even got up and left the studio and said something to him, and he's so engrossed in his book, he didn't even acknowledge it. You left.
Much better than when that happens with the tablet. So I'm loving the book reading. But we're going to the game tonight. I think, you want to be on now, or are you good?
I want to go on.
Yeah, now you want to be on TV?
Not right now.
Not right now. Okay, I'm sorry. He's not ready to come on TV. Yeah. He said maybe later.
He's digesting a mean grilled cheese. Smelled great back here.
No, he's reading a book now. He's very focused. But we're going to the Mets game tonight, and Louie was asking me, did they sell this thing out tonight? And I'm like,
it's a Friday, summer Friday.
Astros?
It's Astros, though.
Fireworks night?
Yeah, I think
the weather's beautiful.
If it's not sold out, it's going to be really close.
See, I don't know because the Mets have drawn really bad this season. Okay, they have. And I don't know if you guys differ on this. I don't think firework night is the same draw that it used to be.
Especially because you could see them 15 times over the next week, no matter where you live.
And also, the Mets have a year. The Yankees now have a fireworks night. It's tough with the Yankees because they sell out basically every game. So it's tough to see, like, does the crowd show up for fireworks night? Maybe I'm nuts, and maybe there's somebody in the audience who's like, no, I'm going to Citi Field to see fireworks tonight. Maybe that's the case. But I'm under the impression that fireworks night's not the draw it used to be.
I just think it's another log on the fire. Team playing really, really well. Weather is great. Friday night and the fireworks. Yeah. Like the whole stew of it, I think, will lead to a sellout. What's and the
market?
Astros.
What's the market for the ticket right now?
That's a great question. So I wasn't
you,
even.
You could find out the market for the ticket. It'll determine whether or not. And we'll know from what the market says.
Okay.
The weather should play a factor, too.
That it's a beautiful night?
They may not get a more perfect baseball night than
All right.
No humidity.
It's going to cool off a little bit.
Oh, like so 69, 70 degrees.
I mean, last week when we were there, it was. Or earlier this week, it was like 90-something degrees
yeah.
in the afternoon.
I woke up today, I heard college football fight songs in my head. I felt like a college football Saturday.
The market is, like, decent. It's pretty average for a game tonight. Like, my seats where I sit is pretty much going for right around face value. So it's like a... It's not the hottest pick in the world, but it's certainly not like ice cold like we've seen in the past.
But that also means that they're available, so...
Well, secondary market, there's always tickets available.
Right. Well, of course, but I mean... Available to like the average fan.
Yeah,
it's not exorbitant. It's not this. I don't know what it was for the Subway Series. I don't know if you look.
Oh no, that's high for the Subway Series. But you also have two kind of fandoms that are involved. I will agree with Loogie about this because the Mets have had a very tough season drawing crowds. They've had a very down season. It's actually one of the worst years they've had attendance wise in the history of the ballpark, which is almost amazing to think about. But where Loogie is 1,000% right, I agree with him. Not that they're going to sell out, but that this is the perfect storm to have a big crowd. You have a gorgeous night. They're red hot. They got a lot of good attention lately. And the Astros, I think, are a draw. Now, maybe I'm nuts about that, but the Astros have only been at Citi Field like twice in the cheating Altuve era, however you want to define it. They have not made a lot of visits to Citi Field. So, at least for us, it's a unique opponent in terms of who they are often they play.
But I think you would have to think about, are there Astro fans? Are they traveling? Here, one. And if not, are there Astro fans here? Or is this just all Met fans because they want to see them beat up the Astros?
Well, it's...
Right? That's what it comes down to. Just from an Astro standpoint.
Yeah, I think that there are Astro fans because if you recall, during that ALCS in 2022 where the Astros swept the Yankees, they took over the building by the time it was over.
Yeah.
Granted, that's the playoffs. What I also wonder about living in a two-team town, a town with both leagues represented, is that if you really want to pay... money to see the Jose Altuve-led Houston Astros, you get a chance to do it every year at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, maybe it does lose the specialness because you can see it in the other ballpark. Same on the other end with, you know, the Dodgers or the Braves coming to Yankee Stadium. If you're paying to see the opponent, you could see that opponent at Citi Field a few times a year. So I don't know. If I had to guess right now, they're not selling out. I'd be stunned if they sold out. I would say it'll be 34,000 people, which is... It's good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But not the 44 that it was for the Subway.
No, I don't think so. They haven't done that much this season. Mm. And again, I don't think fireworks night is that same draw. Partially because of what Sean said. It feels like fireworks are all the time now.
Your local town will do them.
Yeah.
Your minor league stadium, wherever you are, will do them. Your beaches and lakes will do them. And by the time July 4th comes around, you're like, do I need to see more fireworks?
You kind of get bored of fireworks.
Yeah. I love them. They always make me emotional and sappy, but to that extent, yeah.
I'm a big I like fireworks. Here's what I'm afraid of, and I'm not trying to draw up a bad story. I genuinely feel this way. Ever since Jason Pierre-Paul, I am deathly afraid of fireworks. Like, I don't want to be near them. I don't want anyone near me shooting them. Like, I'll sit far away and watch, like at Citi Field tonight, but if someone's shooting fireworks, I go inside. I just don't want to be anywhere near it. It actually scares the crap out of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
You got something to say?
I'm not dissimilar, by the way.
You do the same thing.
I don't like being around fireworks.
Wow. I'm the guy that, give me the lighter. I'm lighting them.
No.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've only had one turnover once.
And what happened?
My cousin Todd. Which is down in Florida. Let's just say the leg's never been the same.
Are you kidding me?
Call him Stumpy now.
Jeez. And you're still okay with it?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Yeah, but it could be you.
Nah, never going to be me.
So you're firing off fireworks on the 4th?
Not this year. I made a budget.
Oh, you're taking a break this year.
I just never got to Pennsylvania, to be honest with
you. Listen, I'm going down.
Somebody did.
I'm going down to North Carolina in a couple of days where my brother-in-law lives. By the way, Knick fan. Oh, my God. Do I have to congratulate him about Mikal Bridges?
Yes, you do.
I'd rather
you do.
Not. I think I was thinking of giving him...
Congratulate him on the championship.
I'm not... Okay.
Dog!
If I do that, I'm a jinx. I was thinking of... So Mikal Bridges' Nets jersey was sent to Jet a couple days ago from the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh,
you can't even make this crap up. You can't make this crap up. I was thinking, like, is it a good gift, since my brother-in-law and his cousins are Knick fans, to give them the Nets Mikal Bridges jersey, or does that like not mean anything to them because he's a Net?
Well, first of all, how do you know Jet doesn't want it?
Jet, do you want the Brooklyn Nets Mikal Bridges jersey, or should we give it away? You could say it in the mic if you want.
It's in the middle.
You're in the middle? What does that mean?
Undecided.
You don't know what to do with it?
He's like a lot of voters after last night.
Oh, he's in the middle, like the Knicks in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Do you think we should burn the Mikal Bridges jersey? Like light it on fire? No, he's against that.
That would be cool.
That would be cruel?
Cool.
Oh, cool.
The Nets still in the league.
Firework. You going to make a bonfire with a jersey now?
Anyhow, coming up at exactly 4:25, I will give you specifics on the changes I would try to the New York Yankee lineup, because I was thinking about this last night. I do have ideas on what they can do to shake things up a little bit. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Let's get back to your phone calls with Chris in Manhattan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. I was at the Wrigley game on Sunday. I just wanted to give you some insight into the Drew Smith thing. But just one thing first. On the Iglesias song, the other brilliant aspect of this is this guy is guaranteed he'll never get cut on this roster because if you're David Stearns, like, you can't get rid of this guy, right?
That's a great point.
Brett is so smart.
It's so true. Yeah.
You know what somebody should do? Somebody should tell Brett Beatty, start writing some songs down there.
That's a good point. Very good point, man. Yes.
So, guys, I went on Sunday with my daughter lives in Chicago. First time at Wrigley. It was a blast. It was Ryan Sandberg night. Yep. I was having a great time. Severino was throwing BBs. Vientos hit that bomb. So I just want to tell you what happened to that inning, obviously. And I think Tommy's right in how he looks at this. So obviously Diaz comes out. It's absolute chaos, right? So now Drew Smith comes in, like you said, no warm-up. And the crowd is chanting, Edwin, Jeter. It's like a madhouse, right? Wow. And you maybe didn't see that on the TV.
I did not, no.
They didn't show that.
So everyone is chanting, screaming that it's a complete madhouse. And Drew Smith clearly was trying to rush the pitches. And then at one point, Mendoza came out and Lindor went up to him and said, like, take your time, like, try to calm him down. But you could see Smith was just like, let me start this game, start this inning, so stop this chanting, let's win this thing. Because it was really very, like, a lot of anxious feeling in there. So I do think that had a lot to do with Smith not warming up properly.
But think about this. I am not disputing Chris Lugie's theory of, hey, Edwin Diaz being thrown out affected him. I'm saying I'm not blaming that because if you're Drew Smith, you still have the responsibility as an athlete to take as much time as you need. I'm not saying it's easy. I get it. You've got a lot of eyes on you. The crowd is chanting, which I didn't realize. But still, like, at the end of the day, that's on Drew Smith.
Yeah, it's your body. You have to do what you have to do. And I don't know what the regular warm-up is, but even if it was 10, 15 minutes, whatever it ultimately was, that still seems short, right? They start warming up way before they have to come in.
Well, what I would suggest, and I don't know if this is a defined rule or not, but what I would definitely suggest is when a guy gets thrown out of a game or injured and they have to leave, and you have that situation where a pitcher has as much time as they need to warm up, they should stay in the bullpen. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because then, you're making people wait. We're not watching anything. But then all eyes aren't on you because most bullpens, no one can really see.
Yeah.
And so I think that would take the pressure off. But ultimately, my point is that's on the player to be responsible. And what's on the Mets and what's on Carlos Mendoza is once Drew Smith calls you out there because he feels something, no matter what Drew Smith tells you, he's got to throw a warm-up pitch or two.
Yeah.
He can't just say, oh, wait, forget it, I'm fine, let's go. I don't care if he says no thank you. Like, he's got to go out and prove to you you're able to stay in the game because, Tiki, you said it earlier and I agree with you, how often does a pitcher signal, come out, something's wrong, and then just stay in the game?
Never.
Usually,
I mean,
you're
never
coming out of the game.
There's never. It's almost automatic that you come out of the game. Now, who came in after him? It was
Jake Diekman.
But I don't know if Diekman was up at all. And so it makes you wonder, you know.
Was it a stall tactic?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but you
can you give me, I don't know, a couple more pitches, please?
But if he's leaving because of injury, the same rule applies to Diekman where he can take as much time as he needs.
Well, that's true. I mean, I still don't know if you think about that in real time.
Yeah.
Again, we have no idea what the conversation was on the mound between Mendy and the trainer and Drew Smith, but it's an odd series of circumstances that are just unfortunate because of the Edwin Diaz sticky stuff ejection.
And look, as much as Met fans don't love Drew Smith, it looks like he's going to be out for the season based on his comments. The Mets need bullpen help.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. So as we get closer to the trade deadline, that is, if the Mets are going to upgrade somewhere, That's the place to upgrade. And the idea I threw out to you a couple days ago, and it rings even truer today than it did 5 days ago, is it isn't buying necessarily a reliever. It may be trading a starter for a reliever. It may be finding the right team in baseball, another team that's competing, that's desperate for a starting pitcher, and may feel like they have a surplus of relievers, and you may have to match up that way.
Yeah.
Because the Mets, believe it or not, even though they don't have the greatest starting pitching in the world, they have a surplus of starting pitching.
Right.
They actually do.
Right. So it just, I mean, one of those guys might end up in the bullpen.
Which is the other option, right, too, which is taking one of those starters and making them a bullpen arm. I would actually, now you could do that specifically with Tyler McGill, but I would prefer taking a guy like a Jose Quintana or Sean Manaea, maybe David Peterson, and testing their value in getting back a reliever. I don't think the Mets and Yankees match up, so I'm not going to offer you a Met-Yankee trade like I did earlier in the show with Gleyber Torres for Jeff McNeil, which is a win-win for everybody. But that could be what the Mets are thinking as we creep closer to the trade deadline. Let's go to Andrew in Forked River. How you doing, Andrew? Andrew?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hello? Not much, Tiki. So my point is, like, when you guys look at the 2022 season for the Mets and compare it to the 2023 season, like, Buck Showalter was still the manager at the time, and that the correlation there, maybe something went wrong with his managing skill. Like, and the team, like, turned against him.
It turned against Buck, is that what you're saying?
And they didn't want to play for him.
I don't know if it's that. I think it may just be that maybe Buck, his, you know what? I don't think it is Buck, honestly.
Right. It's hard to speculate on that because you never heard it, even after he was gone. Not that he was.
The players loved him.
Right. They were being asked specifically about Buck Showalter, but if there had been an issue, you would have got a sense of, oh, that's good, he's gone. I think they all liked him.
Yeah.
And maybe he wasn't forceful enough or, I don't know, inspiring enough, I guess you could say.
Well, the thing I had heard
that's
about...
That's just who he is.
The thing I heard about Buck was almost the opposite, that he was so stringent with his rules and everything was so organized and structured that maybe it put people on edge and Mendy maybe more relaxed. Though I do have a Carlos Mendoza update that Tiki Barber is going to really like.
Let's hear it.
We have breaking news about Carlos Mendoza. Are you ready?
I am.
Carlos Mendoza is having a press conference, which he does before every game. He did give an update on Kodai Senga, which is nice. It looks like he's planning to start a rehab assignment in the middle of next week, which is really cool. But that's not the story. Mm-hmm. The story is what Carlos Mendoza is wearing.
Oh, what's, my God.
What's he wearing, Tink?
That's an OMG. I told you.
Oh, my God. I'll hold up my tablet if SNY wants to focus.
And followers of Evan Roberts on Twitter, or formerly Twitter, now X.
Yes.
Voting in his poll. It's Grimace. Carlos Mendoza didn't come out in a Grimace outfit or even a Grimace shirt.
No.
He came out in an OMG.
Everybody
is what it's all about. And Mendy, who is Latin and speaks Spanish, knows exactly why he's down with it.
Are you saying Mendy's an ass guy? Is that what you're suggesting? I mean,
team unity, unlike the bullpen, every player is currently wearing them for warm-ups right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Wow, so he's got everybody doing it
now. Also for the release this week.
Yeah, so I think the song was supposed to be...
They've known of this song for a month.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. The whole thing, it's all OMG. The whole thing. Get out of here. Right? No, it ain't get out of there. It's come here.
Tiki went from Grimace is fake, it's all BS, to fully buying OMG.
I'm straight
and
in on OMG.
Spanking that posterior has gotten the Mets going.
See, I think to Tiki's point with the fans, I think Grimace is going to become the thing for the kids. Evan, you mentioned Jet, who's here, loves Grimace. And for the adults, when they hear this song at Citi Field and Mrs. Met and other women in the audience are dancing to it, this will now be the thing that the adult males rally around, the OMG.
If Mrs. Met is dancing to OMG, where is Mr. Met?
He's
checking out the guys in the stands going, you better not be looking at my wife.
Our last caller, though, made such a brilliant point that cannot be understated. Jose Iglesias.
Yeah.
And he's played well. So, like, look, Jose Iglesias deserves to be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
But Jose Iglesias has found a way to make him cut-proof. He is DFA-proof because even if the Mets wanted to get rid of him, Even if there was an opportunity to get a better backup middle infielder at the trade deadline.
No,
he's set. You know, he's locked in.
He's a glue guy. He's 34 years old, right? He's been bounced around for however many. Doesn't get that many at-bats. What's he have, like 30? Let me look at it.
I mean,
35 at-bats.
Mendy barely plays him, which is another issue, but whatever.
Right, 35 at-bats, but he's hitting 400.
I know.
So, and he's got OMG.
And he's got the rally song that got the...
Dude, you are cut-proof.
He's DFA-proof.
DFA-proof, 100%.
It's incredible, and that's... It's
and
a
if
brilliant...
they do DFA him, they're going to be like, you want to come back and be a manager? assistant? You want to be a bench assistant bench coach?
If they ever DFA'd him, there'd be a mutiny at Citi Field.
There would be.
From the players and the fans, because you're seeing the importance of this, which is just nuts that this is the thing that got the Mets going. When did they call? I'm trying to remember when they called him up. Now, they called him up when they made a flurry of moves, which included sending down Brett Beatty. But I got to see the date on when they called him up. Just to see, like, when does it kind of fit?
Or does it coincide with when things started happening?
May 31st, so it's right before?
Yeah.
It's literally right before, because that's kind of when the Mets were hitting rock bottom. It was all happening at the same time. So the Mets call up Jose Iglesias on May 31st, all right? That day, oh, wow, this is crazy. May 31st is day two of the Arizona series. So they had just cut Jorge Lopez. They had just hit the rock bottom of being 22-33, the Dodgers series, the sweep, the Jorge Lopez situation. They play the Diamondbacks on that Thursday night, the game that Lugie's wife was at, my wife was at, and my friend at a party in the midst of a Ranger playoff game that Sean mocked, right?
Right.
We all go to the game. Mets beat the Diamondbacks very innocently. They win the next night. They call up Iglesias the next night. They lose the next two, including a brutal Sunday afternoon loss to the Diamondbacks where they blew the game in the ninth inning. Okay, fine. Ketel Marte taking Jake Diekman deep. Then they go on the run. Sweep the Nationals, split with the Phillies, 2 out of 3 against the Marlins, sweep the Padres, 2 out of 3 against Texas, 2 out of 3 against Chicago, sweep the Yankees, and here we are. So it is directly in line with this whole thing.
Oh my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá. Oh my God. Dame salud y prosperidad.
Catchy. Jack, have you heard the OMG song? You want to come over here, I'll let you listen to it.
Yeah.
We're going to get a... Yeah, oh, I got to turn my mic off so he can hear it. Hold on. Come over here. What is your opinion on that song? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Your thoughts?
It's like good. Like amazing and good.
Amazing and good.
At the same time.
Now, what do you like better? OMG sparking the Mets to success or Grimace sparking the Mets to success?
Probably OMG.
Oh, see?
Wow.
Already moving the children.
Wow. What do you think Spence would say?
Probably Grimace because... He doesn't really understand songs that much.
Uh-huh. Very good. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate your insight. Wow. Tiki, this is a big moment. The kids are falling in love with OMG.
I mean, we just had a dance party in here.
We totally did. All right, when we come back, we do have a New York Yankee lineup, but also my suggestion on what Aaron Boone can do to spark the lineup. We'll get back to your Met phone calls as well. 888-808-1019. I'm going to ask this in the most respectful way possible because I am very respectful, especially the office of the presidency. Why, Mr. President, are you here in New York City? Why? Like, what the hell made you say, after that pathetic thing last night, oh, I want to go annoy everybody in New York City now by showing up and causing road closures? So what are you doing here? Please leave. Again, I believe this for anyone who is the future president. I don't care if you're 95 years old or 55 years old. No president should be allowed in New York City because all you do is cause traffic for us.
Especially on a Friday.
Especially on a Friday.
And apparently he is going to the Met game tonight.
Are you kidding me? You joking with me?
No, that is on Twitter.
Why is the president going
he
to the
Met? Stop by Citi Field today with dignitaries.
Are you kidding me? You know what that means for me and my son? It means there's going to be security everywhere. We just want to go to a baseball game.
It's fireworks night.
He wants to see fireworks?
He wants to see the fireworks.
Also, I just made that up to just get you all
angry. You made that up?
Yes, I did.
You couldn't read that in his face?
No.
Because he looked at his screen and was like, it says it right here? You believed him?
I mean, I had no reason not to believe him. I didn't, I'm not in a world yet where...
Because he gets you with that every single
You're an hour and 45 minutes from vacation, Ev. You know what? You're going to deal with it.
Right. I feel so much better now knowing he's not coming.
He could be. I just don't know for sure.
Bro, I'll never forget this. And it is in my Mets Bible, on sale now, Amazon, right. Audiobook, the whole thing. One of the games I included was when Bill Clinton came to Shea Stadium to announce, shockingly, we didn't even know it was coming, that Jackie Robinson's 42 is going to be retired all throughout baseball.
That's cool.
It was the 50th anniversary of Jackie breaking the color barrier, and it was an awesome, awesome night. And I got nothing bad to say about anything. It was an amazing event. I still remember all these years later. But what I'll never forget, Tiki, is that my dad in the second inning made a mistake. He wanted to go to the bathroom.
Ooh.
And because of the Secret Service that were everywhere, it took him 4.5 innings to leave the concourse, to go to the bathroom, and
Are
come
you
back.
Kidding?
Not kidding.
Oh, that is miserable.
So,
didn't he have a cup or something?
I don't think my dad thought that that was going to happen. I think we all knew that there were Secret Service there. We knew the president was going to be there. We knew all that. But I just don't think in his mind he figured, wow, this is going to be a 4-inning wait to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think if he knew that, he would have held it in.
It's likely because all the other bathrooms around the president were closed.
Probably.
Or whatever, off limits.
You know what I think it also was? They were forcing everyone to go into, like, when you're walking through the ramp at the old Shea Stadium to get to your seat, they were forcing everybody to be patted down every time. Because they didn't want anybody, in protecting the president of the United States at the time, to have any kind of weapon.
Right.
And so they figured, to be extra secure, we're going to, like, check you every time you go down to the seating bowl. And what I'll never forget about that night is Bill broke his leg doing something. So when Bill Clinton came out to join Bud Selig, he's on his crutches. He's limping. And he also got booed. And I remember that. And now I think about it all these years later. Bill at the time was a very popular president.
Mm.
New York is kind of a liberal area.
Right.
Why was he being booed?
That's interesting.
It was April of 97, so I don't think the Monica stuff broke. He wasn't being impeached quite yet.
The economy might have been bad.
I think the economy had already turned.
I don't know.
Because it was after the election. He had just been reelected. And New York was booing him.
Public perception and reality for our politics and for the economy, it's so skewed.
Like yeah, people
don't really know.
We all love the NFL. Goodell gets booed everywhere he goes.
Right.
That's true.
Okay. He hasn't done anything bad in a while.
But that's kind of a rite of passage for him at this point. It's kind of just a thing to do, even though you have every reason to love Roger Goodell.
Well, I mean, we can go that far. Every reason to love Roger Goodell.
The game is great. They're making a ton of money.
He's also kind of done things to the game that maybe some of us don't love,
like
including you.
Like what?
Some of the rule changes.
I mean, that's for player safety. That's a lot of that's on the PA. The PA is about to help eliminate essentially the offseason. There's going to be no offseason. The only time you're going to be around the team is once you start going to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be bad for the game,
mm-hmm.
but it's great for player safety.
No, that's true.
So
I think it's the hypocrisy, though, of wanting the 18th game and the 17th game and the 18th game. I think that bothers fans.
Thing. It's a monetary thing.
I understand the reason why, but I'm just explaining why some fans don't like it.
Well, it's Christmas Day.
Right. Yeah, forget the Christmas Day thing. It's a monetary thing, and the reason that the players aren't against it, even though some of them are, is because it's more money for them, too.
Right.
The cap will increase for them. For everybody, if there's an 18th game. The thing that's changed so much, and I was having this conversation with Eli, you know, we had that caller call earlier talking about the game the Giant 100. We were talking backstage about the state of the game. And sitting with Eli and Amani and a couple of these guys, they were talking about how players nowadays will take, like, rest days. Like on a weekend, mm-hmm. like a game day. It's like management. You know how we have in basketball, it's like body management.
Yes.
Like they're doing that in the NFL these
Interesting,
days.
Interesting, huh?
And it's so foreign to me to even think about that.
Right.
Like, how could you? We got it. We got an extra game. You know what? This one doesn't really matter. I'll take this off. I'm like, it doesn't compute to me that you wouldn't want to be out there every single game.
Right.
But that's just the way that the game has evolved.
Completely different.
It's so different than it used to be.
Before we get back to your calls, real quick, here is my Yankee lineup idea, which Aaron Boone hasn't heard of yet because he's not using it tonight. And Sean will give you the lineup in a couple of seconds. Because they're struggling, I think it's worth changing it up, just trying something different.
And Sean made the comment recently, would you think of breaking up Juan Soto and Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it as long as they're both batting in the first inning. And I did mention the other day of leading off Juan Soto, and that's exactly what I would do. I would take Juan Soto, who is an on-base machine, even when he's not hitting, and I'd make him the leadoff hitter. So that'd be change number one. I would lead off Juan Soto. Batting second would either be, depending on if you're facing a lefty or a righty, tonight it happens to be Yusei Kikuchi, I would put somebody in the two spot I'm trying to get going. Alex Verdugo or Gleyber Torres. Hmm. And I would give them that gift because I'd have Aaron Judge hitting third. So I would go 1-2, and I don't care that Verdugo's a lefty because Juan Soto kills lefties. So it doesn't matter that Juan Soto's a lefty. It's irrelevant, right? Oh, two lefties in a row. Who cares? I would go Soto, Verdugo, Judge, Volpe cleanup. Because Volpe's also struggling. And I look at him and say, you know what? I'll get you out of it by getting you up with guys on base. You're guaranteed to come up with guys on base when you've got Judge and Soto hitting in front of you. So I would go, this is my lineup idea, just to try it out, just to see if it sparks the team. Soto 1, Verdugo 2, Judge 3, Volpe 4, and then Gleyber Torres 5. The other thing I would do is DJ LeMahieu would bat ninth. And I do it for two reasons. Number one, I think DJ LeMahieu gets going. I get myself a second leadoff hitter by allowing more guys on base for Soto and Judge and whatnot. And also, at least for now, takes the pressure off him. All right, you're batting ninth. Get it going. In theory, right.
In theory.
Figure it out. And in a good work it out situation, he gets on base in front of my big guys. Now, that's not the Yankee lineup. Sean, I'll give it to you in a minute. But what are your thoughts on my idea?
I mean, it's interesting because it does provide some differentiation that maybe sparks some of these guys. But at the same time, like when I look at what's plaguing Gleyber, it's not where he's hitting in the lineup. I mean, it's not, you know, he's struggling at two, he'll be better. It's his approach at the plate is just bad. It's off. Like you saw it with the bases loaded in game one of the Subway Series. It was almost like he wasn't prepared for what was coming because he was late. Like, he swung at this pitch. It was a high, I think it was a fastball. I couldn't tell because I was behind the plate. But it was so late. It was like it was an afterthought that he swung. And then he struck out a pitch later or two pitches later. And his approach is just off.
But sometimes your approach can change based on where you're hitting in the lineup. Like when you move to the leadoff spot.
I'll tell you why.
The
pitcher is going to pitch you the same way regardless of where you are.
Not necessarily. It depends on who's on base. If anybody's on base, what the situation is. I think sometimes as a leadoff hitter, your approach changes into, I'm trying not to do too much. I'm just trying to get on base. I'm the leadoff hitter. And sometimes that changes your approach as compared to when you're a cleanup or fifth place hitter and you're thinking about the 3-run home run or driving runs in. Back in the day, what Bobby Valentine used to do was take a slumping hitter and bat him second. And the approach would be very similar, like, hey, the pressure's off, man. Just move the guy who's on first base to second. Or lay down a bunt once in a while. So sometimes it does help. And my counter to you on, because look, in general, it may not do anything. I acknowledge that. Look what it did for the Mets. Look what it did for Francisco Lindor. Unless you think him leading off didn't really get him going, it was bound to happen anyway.
I think it was bound to happen because he's had these slow starts before, and at some point, he always turns into the cliche back of the baseball card and ends up hitting 250 to 70 and has 80 RBIs and, you know, whatever it is, 20-something home runs. Like, that's just who he is, and he's always going to be that way. He's never going to be – I know we get, like, enamored with killing Francisco Lindor because of his contract, and, oh, you're going to hate this contract in however many years type of conversation, but he kind of does the same thing every single year.
Gets off to bad starts. Numbers are there at the end of the day.
So to me, yes, maybe it did help. And it's awesome for the Mets right now because it seems like every night he's leadoff double.
I know.
So it's great. And the import is there, but I honestly think it would have happened anyway.
So that's my idea for the Yankee lineup. Here is the Yankee lineup brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
All right, Anthony Volpe leads off at short. Juan Soto in right bat second. Aaron Judge back in center field will bat third. Your cleanup hitter, the immortal J.D. Davis at first base. Gleyber Torres back in the lineup batting fifth. At second, Alex Verdugo in left bat sixth, DJ LeMahieu in the seven hole bat playing third, Jose Trevino catches and bats eighth, and your designated hitter batting ninth, Jamai Jones with Marcus Stroman on the hill.
You okay with that lineup?
I am. Jamai Jones, another hit last night.
I know, he's actually productive. Do you like my idea?
I do like your idea, but I would take it a further step. I'd get real nuts because it's been that bad.
Go ahead.
Aaron Boone is such a baseball historian.
Hmm.
Do the Billy Martin in 1977. The names in the hat.
No.
Pull them out. Let's get nuts.
No. You know why?
Why? Because then Judge could bat eighth in a scenario like that?
Yes.
Dude, listen.
Yes, that's a problem,
but go a step further here.
Why did that work?
Because here, this is where...
Because it's a lie and it wasn't a true story.
Yeah.
You think Billy Martin really pulled the lineups out of a hat?
I do. Okay. By the way, Judge could get pulled out second or third, but you know what that would do, I think, to a locker room that right now is pressing? Make them laugh. Make them, even for a game. And if that wakes everybody up and the bats start moving, it's not like you have to stick with that lineup. Something has to change for this team, and maybe loosening them up is just what you need, even if it sounds like the craziest thing in the world.
You know how crushed Aaron Boone would get if it was like, Skip, why'd you bat Aaron Judge at 7 today? Oh, we just picked his name out of it.
No, but by the way, I don't think he would get crushed. You're losing every game by double-digit runs.
If he goes over, it is terrible. Because nobody's up when he comes up in the third inning. Right?
It's one of those things where, because Billy Martin, and I wanted to look it up, because I wanted to see, like, what did that lineup look like that day? We've all heard the legendary story, but was he pulling our leg? Because my first reaction is, you can say you pulled it out of a hat. I mean, I guess it was genuine, because he had Norm Cash leading off, who was like a power hitter. He had Ed Brinkman batting cleanup, who was a light-hitting shortstop. Right. So,
or maybe he just went... like against the grain at every spot, you know.
But then that's not picking it out of a hat. That's just saying I'm just going to be random about this whole thing.
But they just need.
Billy Martin's answer, by the way, was it served a purpose. It was done to relax the guys, and it worked.
Ah, there you go.
I just don't know.
Maybe it is worth it.
Is it though,
dude?
If Aaron Judge is batting ninth, we're going to be okay with that.
We're okay with them losing four games in a row and essentially getting the doors blown off of them. So does it really matter?
This is the worst the lineup has looked. Arguably in 3 years. And so even if Aaron Judge is the savior, he's the captain, right? Good times and bad times. If it ends up that Aaron Judge is betting seventh because his name's getting pulled out of a hat, have a good head on your shoulders and be a leader and get what the manager's trying to do there and loosen up the locker room.
We will get to the Giants coming up at 5 o'clock. A very interesting article about Brian Daboll and his new approach for this upcoming season. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Let's get to some of your calls, including Matt on Long Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
I want to talk about the Mets. I meant to heard in the show you mentioned yesterday, these next 17 games for the All-Star break.
Yes.
And they're going to be tough. I would totally sign for 17-10-7.
Yeah.
And the toughest night against Houston, I mean, we know what their lineup is. Top three hitters. I mean, and they're throwing some really good arms on the mound. So, I mean, I'd like to take 2 out of 3, but...
The Astros, let's not forget this, the Houston Astros are the only team in baseball that you can say with a straight face is as hot as the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
They have done almost the same thing.
Right.
They got off to a terrible start. They just got to 500. They're now 40-40. The Mets are 39-39. Their lineup is very top-heavy, much like kind of the Yankee situation. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at their lineup. It just got posted. Altuve, Bregman, Jordan. And then it goes Yiner Diaz, Jake Myers, Jeremy Pena, Mauricio Dubon. Like, there's a drop-off. But, no, this is the toughest part of this stretch the Mets have coming up. But my point yesterday about going 10-7 until the All-Star break, because the schedule is softened a little bit after the Houston series, is that I don't need the Mets to be on this rampage. I need them to kind of even it out. And that doesn't mean I'm rooting for them to even it out. I wish they go 15-2. But I'm saying that's the most important thing they can do is not fall backwards.
Right.
But kind of maintain. They have now crawled themselves out of the hole. And so what they need to do now is just play solid baseball. As great as it would be to continue this stretch where they're winning every single day, of course I'd sign for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to be reasonable that I would take a solid next couple of weeks as they go to the All-Star break, especially not having Edwin Diaz for the next week.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to stay afloat that is above 500 for the Mets.
That's the goal.
But the expectation that they can stay at this, whatever it was, 70% win percentage, it's tough.
Well, they're not.
It's tough.
They're not going to, but that's okay.
But it is okay because it also feels like if they at least keep themselves driving behind this positive, last couple of weeks, that it puts them in a better position come trade deadline time to continue to push for it.
Yes.
As opposed to, all right, we're just these one year contracts. Yeah, Seve, we love you, man. You're our ace right now, but we're sending you somewhere so we can get some value back.
Right.
Nobody wants to see that. That would be extraordinarily disappointing. You talk about the the ballpark going to empty, that's what will happen.
I think the way the Mets can trade starting pitching, because they can, is A, for a reliever, mm-hmm. so it's sort of like a win-now move. And the other way they can do it, and there will be Met fans to complain about it, I'm just telling you I won't, and I would try to talk them off the ledge, is trading the guys that at the end of the day you don't love and you actually think the kids you're calling up are better alternatives. Like, I'll give you an example, and we'll use Lugie as the guinea pig on this. If the Mets announced they were trading Sean Mendaya to the Baltimore Orioles for a decent prospect, your reaction would be what?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with
okay.
that. I get what they're doing there.
You'd
so
be okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, if they traded Luis Severino,
then I'd have a major issue with that.
That's what I'm saying. So it depends on the player, and you don't net, and that's kind of a sell move, but it's an okay sell move because it's a strategic sell, because your idea is, hey, I think Christian Scott's better anyway.
Correct. Yeah. That's right.
Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Hey, Joe.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Four quick comments. Evan, you could also throw in UN Week and your comments about the president coming to the city.
Oh, yeah.
Awful UN
oh,
Week.
Oh, UN Week.
Especially on the east side. We're lucky. We're lower west, but I feel you, man.
Yep.
Kiki, I always wanted to compliment you and thank you. I appreciate what you did in football, even though I'm a Jeff fan. And
thank you.
I love when you make your comment, even when it's coming from an athlete's perspective. Though it's coming from the athlete's perspective, you don't make us fans feel like we don't know what we're talking about. So I appreciate that.
Basically, what he's trying
thank
to say
you
is you're very un-Boomer-like. Boomer likes to make us feel like narpy and idiots, and Tiki makes us feel like better about ourselves.
Hey, yeah, the opinion of those who watch is just as important.
Oh, God.
Even if it's not
now,
as informed.
Thank you.
two quick things about the OMG song.
Yes.
I don't dislike it, Evan. It just sounds generic. It sounds like a million other songs in that genre.
That is true. That is so true.
That's my opinion about that.
But think about this. A lot of popular music is generic. I mean, a lot of pop songs that hit sound like every other bubblegum pop song. That's
way,
okay.
Iglesias is not a, singer.
You're wrong about that. He is. He's an artist.
I mean, is he?
He's Candelito or whatever his name is.
Is he professionally that?
I think he wants to be.
Okay, but is he now?
He's on his way.
So what you do when you're not is you steal, I don't know, the beats and the rhythms from things that have been successful.
I'm going to tell you right now.
And you make it your own.
If the New York Mets win the World Series this year, I will treat Jose Iglesias as a performer like Chris Russo treats Bruce Springsteen.
By the way,
I will watch him. I will follow him. He will become my god. If this somehow leads to a world championship.
So is there like a whole album here, or is it just...
He's released other songs. Yeah. Would you like to hear all of them?
I mean...
You want to go on Spotify, Luke, and start playing random Jose Iglesias songs?
Has he been doing this for a long... I have no idea.
Yeah.
Has he been doing this for a long time?
I think he's been doing it for a while. And I think that this has only gotten attention because of the Mets the way the team has embraced it, and obviously because they're winning.
Does the song include the word Met anywhere?
No.
Huh.
It includes, spanking... Caucuses. Ozzie and Woodridge, what's up, Oz?
Hey, safe trip, Dennis.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's cute kid you got
driving.
There, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate it. All my wife's credit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, thank God he looks like Sylvia,
yes.
And I hope Jed as well.
Yes, thank you.
But because this is a kid's show, I won't tell you how I'm going to introduce my Dominican wife to Oh My God. This is literally a kid's show today, so I won't.
Thank you, Ozzie.
Don't worry, Jet can't hear you.
Well, Lugie, brother, you got me in a... What's that?
I said, luckily, Jet can't hear you.
Yeah, so we have him so that he can't hear the caller, so anything you say, it's actually okay. Don't worry about it.
Also, let's go crazy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say it.
All right.
Lugie, you got me in a catch 22, brother. Can Lugie hear me?
Yeah, Lugie, you want
attention.
To respond to your friend Ozzie? You just said you have him in a catch 22.
Yeah, I hear you. What's up?
You shouldn't get involved anymore in any type of sports debate with Mika Marash over there because he lost all sports street cred when he disappeared on the final night of the blue skirts choke job. So he totally lost all sports street cred. But then I want you to get into debates with him, so he disappears again and runs away with his tail between his legs. So I really don't know which way I'm leaning.
You know, it's funny you say that, Ozzy, because Fatso's been a little quiet today, and I think that's because he doesn't have his sports muscles. Marash is a sports muscles fan. When his teams stink, you don't hear a peep out of him. So it's pretty fitting that he's a Yankee fan, because you don't hear a lot about him when his teams are bad, and when they're good, he comes up with these lame, stupid tie-ins to years past.
He is in a tricky spot, and it's good talking to you, Ozzy, because he's a Yankee fan. They're struggling, so muscle's gone. He is a fellow Brooklyn Net fan. Mikel got traded to the Knicks, so those are gone. The Rangers are sitting on their hands here on draft night, and they haven't done anything. So his muscles there are gone. And also, as we'll explain in about 10 minutes, it sounds like Brian Daboll's basically gone after the year. So it sounds like Sorry, that's Shrapnel. I'm sorry. So Sean's lost all muscles. You're very scrawny right now.
No, I mean, all I know is that at least for the Yankees, they know they can lean on bad Ozzy phone calls to match how many times they got blown out this week.
Wow. You don't like Ozzy's phone calls?
He could be better, you know. At some point, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we're getting all mad at a caller early. I can't say heel, right? And he's Ozzy. It's just, you know, the same jokes. Here we go.
Are you on this weekend, Sean?
I actually am. I'm doing a unique shift this weekend.
What shift are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to pinch it for Lori Rubinson late Sunday night. I'm going to work 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., sleep like a professional, come in here and host a show with Tiki on Monday.
Okay, and are you on this weekend, Loogie?
I am. I will be on Sunday after the Yankee game till 9 p.m.
Wait, so it's Loogie into Sean.
It's Yankees, wow. Loogie, Sean, Sunday.
I'll be on first, then him. I don't know about Loogie going into Sean or anything.
Well, it's first Loogie into Sean.
Every great comic needs a decent warm-up act.
So, as a talk show host, do you want Ozzy to call you this weekend? He's a very popular caller. People like him. They love his services.
He's available on the weekends as well.
I heard he is.
I mean, that'd be great. He could waste his minor call for the Little League show with Lou Gower.
What time did you say you were on till?
1 a.m.
You'll be begging for a midnight Ozzy going on for 7 minutes with this stuff that he writes down before he gets on.
11:40, Sean's going to be like, Ozzy, are you out there?
Listen, that's where we do 20 minutes on Capo Caco.
That's right. Coming up, Sean's got his Cinco de Five-O list. We will get you set for your big sports weekend. But also, a very interesting approach and change coming from the head coach of the New York Football Giants. We'll explain it and kind of talk about it coming up in the next couple of minutes right here on The Fan.